I am very happy to have in the studio two filmmakers who are going to be doing the world premiere of Whistle for My Horses coming up Saturday, March 26th at 7 o'clock at the Historic Yale Theater. And there's actually an opening film. I've got Everett Peacock and Scott McKay. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Aloha.
Scott reached out to me, I don't know, 7-8 months ago. You reached out about this idea you had for doing, that you were going to do this film. And I'm going, well, it sounds interesting, but what are you going to do with it? The thing is, so many people, Scott, so many people want to make a film, you know. And truthfully, these days, a lot of films are just kind of made with people's iPhones and stuff like, you know. So when, you know, someone says, I got a film, you don't really know the depth of what it is, but I mean, you know how difficult doing a film is. A huge project, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. This project for me is, you know, in the neighborhood of 20 years old. I was a starving actor in Hollywood right around then, and I was writing this script mostly in my head. You know, coming home to Maui, I met Everett. And we started working on about 5 years ago, and about 2 years ago, we were fortunate enough to really get some good equipment and really start making, you know, a quality project. And we're very proud of it, but it's a lot of work, and I just feel lucky to be a part of it and to see this come to fruition. It's pretty cool.
It's very cool, and having done some film work in the past, I know that shooting it is one thing, which takes so much, you know, love and thought and shot upon shot upon shot. It's not easy, especially when you're dealing with horses, you know, and people, you know, that have to get the right lighting, the right time. You know, the horse has to be acting right.
Yeah,
you don't
absolutely
have acting horses, I imagine, but they're local horses, but they pay. You want horses that behave themselves.
Yeah, they'll work for grass.
They'll work for grass.
That's a pretty good deal.
So, I mean, that's hard, but also just the editing. It's so hard when you're trying to get that story right, to get the editing correct, you know. And you even have local music. You
yes,
found an amazing guitarist who did the soundtrack,
we
right?
We did. My friend Shiloh Orion from Waimea Big Island has wrote a beautiful Hawaiian song. We've also got, and amazingly, the director, Josh Zupp, brilliant, brilliant young man, has written some music for it as well.
Oh.
And my daughter, who's also in the film, sings as well. And then we have Avi Ronin from Lahaina, kind of famous guy. He's done some music for it. A friend of mine from Switzerland, Benno Schumpf, if I said that correctly. I hope I did, Benno. He's got some beautiful music that we've been allowed to use as well. But we recorded everything except Benno's piece right here in Lahaina at our Bovine Film Studios and are super happy with how it all turned out.
So having said all that, I mean, we really want to get across to people. This is so important because it is a story that's based here on Maui, and it's so relevant to what is going on right now with houses and the prices of houses. And I once met a man when I was actually living in Sonoma County, and this was when the grapevines and all those things, and growth was just beginning to happen. And I asked him, you know, what was going to happen. He had hundreds of acres. And he says, well, you know, the last crop always is a house. Your last crop are homes. That's your last crop,
yes,
right? I mean, so, you know, this is when the prices of homes are going at 1.1 plus million for an average home. To have enough space, to have the horses, to have that lifestyle, it's really, it's quite a challenge, you know, and it's not a mistake if someone's really sticking to wanting to have the land and have the horses and have that lifestyle. It takes a sacrifice of sorts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. This is an age-old story told in our version. You know, it is. It's conservation versus development, and we need both. But we should need to find a happy medium too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy.
No, but I mean, everyone probably that sees the, and you have a beautiful poster. I mean, of course, my first thought, well, this is Yellowstone's story, right? And you know, you were doing it. You started this before Yellowstone started. I'm sure Yellowstone was in production for a while, but it wasn't started with that idea 20 years ago.
I got to add that about that. I have to step in on that. People ask us about Yellowstone.
Yes.
our story is similar, but without the murderous psychopaths that they have in Yellowstone.
Oh, good, good. Yeah,
we are not shooting people. Uh-huh. We're not hanging them. We're not throwing them over cliffs.
Oh, good.
So we skipped all that part.
Thank you.
And yeah. I think we did a good job, too, of trying to keep politics or too much, you know, politics, yeah. quote-unquote politics, out of the story. Mm-hmm. We don't have an axe to grind. We're not trying to make a statement. It's just, you know, it's just a project that...
No, but you are making the character, the main character. What's the main character's name again?
Rancher Mackay.
Now, you said fifth generation? Is it the fifth
generation?
Sixth generation goes back quite a ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking Thompson Ranch kind of going back, you know, years and years and years and years and years. I mean, that's a lot of generation of family. And so, of course, there's got to be some of that story of having that dedication to the family, which is a hard thing. These days, you know, a lot of family people don't want to put in the hard work. It's not easy.
One of the lines in the movie actually is, you'll never get ahead in life if you only work half days. And remember, there's 24 hours in a day.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's kind of like that making a film as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I can't even imagine how many hours of shooting and editing. Do you ever add that up? Did you ever figure out how long it took?
Easily close to 1,000 hours. And
yeah.
editing, I think I've probably done. Josh Stupp, the director, did some editing. I took over when he went to another project. I think we've done 75 or 80 versions.
Wow.
Little tweaks here and there.
Wow.
You know, sound balancing, taking scenes out, adding them back in, mm-hmm. Getting the music to sync up with the visuals. That's, you know, that's a very important part for us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a labor of love, so it's okay. It doesn't feel like work, you know. It feels more like a supremely creative venture.
What did it feel like that moment where you said, that's it? That's a wrap. What did it? Was that a hard moment to go?
Okay. Yeah. We'll let you know when that happens. Probably the day before EL.
But I know people who've actually gone through that. I have many friends in the industry who actually were up till the night, you know, before making tweaks and things, you know. but you said this is the first episode. So tell me. I mean, usually sometimes we think of episodes like things that are on TV as a miniseries, but mm-hmm. this is a movie, which is a lot of work and a lot of investment, and you're renting out the EL Theater, and thank you for giving a donation or a part of the funds going back to the EL. So when you say a series, that's quite a commitment. So tell me about that idea. Were you thinking first of making this for TV, and then it kind of transferred over to a film?
Originally, it was a film.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the pandemic came, it made more and more sense to us to try and hit the streaming industry, I guess you could say, because it's pretty relevant. I mean, it's here to stay. So we kind of made the decision then, partly based on, you know, finances too, what we were able to afford to produce. And we're committed to a mini series, basically.
And will all of them be movies that you will show in theaters, or will the rest be streaming online?
Well, let me take that one.
Yeah.
I'm the executive producer, so I'm in charge of trying to sell this project.
Right.
And Scotty's helping me extraordinarily well. We would like to sell the project idea mm-hmm. to a streaming service, you know, Netflix, Amazon, somebody like that, and then to run ahead and produce the 7 more episodes.
That'd be great.
So we're looking for investors, hint, hint.
Yeah.
And we've got the further episodes already scripted out.
So really?
We've got a lot of great ideas.
Wow.
Depending on where we've shot around the island, we have some great venues we'd like to add to it. So we've been very, very happy with how it's been rolling out.
Well, now, typically, I mean, I've known a lot of people who've done films. Typically, people who do films here look for grants and backing from the Maui Economic Development or other people, but you mm-hmm. didn't do that. I mean, which is unusual. Usually people don't even try to do a film unless they have a sponsor or grant from the county.
Yeah, we self-financed.
Mm-hmm.
That gave
us more.
It is, yes. It's more expensive than we thought, of course.
Oh,
everybody,
always is.
Everybody
yeah.
goes over budget.
Yeah.
But we wanted to have complete control, artistic control, of course,
uh-huh.
over the project. And I'm glad we went with that because we were able to follow Scotty's vision more directly that way. And we were able to go on to remote sets at our own leisure, although leisure is probably not the right word for it.
No, but, getting up early in the morning.
Oh, staying up late at night. Avoiding the weather, although we had pretty good weather. And, you know, honestly, the pandemic sort of played in our favor, where there was less interruptions from helicopters flying overhead.
Good point.
Or, you know, trains of tourist cars going by, that kind of thing. So we took advantage of that as best we could. And, again, we're just really happy with the way this first film has turned out, and we think everybody's going to enjoy it.
Well, I love the title, Whistle for My Horses. Mm-hmm. And if you're just tuning in, by the way, the movie will be doing a world premiere coming up real soon here, Saturday, March 26th at 7 at the historic Yale Theater, which is a big investment in itself, you know, renting out a theater and everything. It was nice. You're going to give a portion of the proceeds back to the Yale. Mm-hmm. Tickets are only $10. Now, one thing that's important for people to realize, this isn't get tickets at the box office, walk up and get tickets. Mm-hmm. This instead is only online at MauiOnStage.com, right? MauiOnStage.com. And I know I was just talking to you. I said, you know, people are going to show up and think they can get tickets at the door, even if we say it's only available online. But you can, if you have a phone, probably that could be worked out at the last minute at the door. Tell me about the title. Now, you said you're a horseback rider. You ride horses?
Yes, I have a few horses, and we used them in the filming.
Quarter horses?
They're thoroughbreds.
I like thoroughbreds. I mean, people here don't understand because everyone's quarter horses here, right? But, I mean, I was raised when I was young in the Hollywood Hills, and every Saturday morning I'd go up to Jute Smith's ranch up there in the Hollywood Hills right below the Hollywood sign, and I'd go out riding on his thoroughbreds. He got some really great racehorses right off the track, fresh broke. And there I was because I was lightweight riding these thoroughbreds, racing up in the Hollywood Hills. That was before. Now you go up there, there's people hiking all over. It's crazy busy up there in the mountains. It wasn't like that when I was a girl. So, I mean, there would be no one up there, and we'd take the horses and go flying through the hills all the way up to the top of Mount Hollywood overlooking the observatory up there, you know. And I'm a big horse lover. So, I mean, you know, I've seen what's been happening, of course. The expense of actually keeping a horse has gone up as well. I mean, your cost of feeding a horse is much more than it was when I was, well, I had a couple of horses in Topanga and in Hollywood, and a bale of hay, my God, I asked someone here who has horses, says, it's much more expensive to do a bale of hay on Maui than it was in Hollywood, right? And they said, well, yeah, because they're shipping, and you can't just feed them the grass, you got to do other stuff. So it's an expensive prospect here to have horses, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So where'd the idea of whistle? Do you whistle for your horses?
There's an interesting story.
Let me tell that story, yeah. Okay. Scotty and I were both, we were doing preliminary shots 5 years ago on location. And I had a drone then, a flying camera, I like to call it. And I wanted to get a shot of the horses, you know, running toward it while the camera would fly backwards. So we're out in this pasture, and I don't see any horses around. And there's a stand of trees 300 yards away. And we had not discussed a title quite yet. We were still mulling it over. And I said, well, where are the horses? And Scotty says, well, let me whistle for the horses. And I go, dude, that's the title right there. Whistle for my horses.
I love it. And do they respond?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So is that because you feed them when you whistle?
Yeah, you got to give them a little treat at the end. They figure it out when it's only a can of rocks or something.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah. They have a reason to come for the whistle, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
they
came.
Oh, yeah. Running full speed.
So you got the shot?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. It's in the movie.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful.
It's a good shot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, isn't it interesting when you watch films now, almost every even TV show or everything you see has drone shots now, right? I mean, isn't it interesting how you see that?
I know that from an economic point of view, you can carry a full-on movie camera on a drone. You know, it has 16 propellers, and the drone costs more than a minivan. But it's safer, too, you know. You can get in closer. You don't blow all the tables over. There's no risk of an aircraft crash, and if a drone crashes, it's usually a minor event, except for whoever owns the camera attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But They're smoother. It's just a superior product. And you can use them as a dolly as well. You know, yeah. You don't need to have a mechanical dolly. Sometimes you could just tell the camera to fly sideways or backwards or up or revolve.
A dolly in a field up country with rocks and things. I can't even imagine.
You could do it with a drone on the first or second shot, you know. Yeah. So it's a superior tool that has allowed us, along with, you know, great 4K full-frame cameras that have come out. It allowed us to put out a really good product for one-tenth what it would have cost 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, and that makes the huge difference as well. I mean, I used to do some small kind editing and stuff, but I mean, my God, that was right before the digital, and then having to get new equipment for editing, new equipment for the cameras, new equipment for everything. Every time I turn around, it was like something new you had to have because the technology is always changing so much. I have a friend who's a filmmaker, Tom Vendetti, and he totally is getting, and he loves his 3D, but you know, everyone thought that was going to be the way it was going to go for a while. He's got all these glasses and he's got the 3D cameras and everything. I'm going, Tom, I don't think 3D is really taking, no, you know, it'll take off. I don't know, maybe, you know.
Well, even the film, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, back in the day, you bought the film, you shot it, and you either used it or you threw it away, but you still paid for it up front.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you know, you just press delete,
and
your SIM card's full, ready to shoot the next day. So there's a lot of things that have, technology-wise, that have really enabled us to pull off this project, and we're pretty proud of it.
So having a love for horses, which you do, I mean, how long have you been riding, Scott?
Let's see. I broke my collarbone when I was 6. So I don't know.
On a horse?
Yeah. Wow. Getting bucked
off. I got
off.
My ribs thrown broken when I got thrown.
I've had family members, you know, going back that have all enjoyed horses. So I've, you know, I'm privileged and lucky enough to have been around them basically my entire life.
There's been some great horse movies over the years. I mean, I'll never forget, when I worked in Los Angeles, we did the premiere of The Black Stallion. Oh my God, that movie, when I saw it, it was like, that changed my whole concept of a horse movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I grew up, I was watching Flicka and my friend Flicka and Fury, but oh my God, The Black Stallion, Francis Ford Coppola, having a vision and understanding of horses like that, right? I mean, shot so beautifully. Oh, my gosh. And some of those were not easy scenes, right?
Well, I feel so honored to be compared to Francis Ford.
But
there is something about the majesty of a horse, you know?
Yeah.
And if you love horses and if you love country scenes, I mean, there's not a huge amount of movies coming out that do that now. And I can't think of another movie that's been made on Maui that has to do with, you know, a film about horses and the country. I mean, there's got to be a certain understanding of the uniqueness of our beautiful upcountry vistas. There's such an energy up there, right? I mean, you had all kinds of different kind of scenery. Did you have mostly sunny days? Were you looking for misty days? Or what kind of feeling did you look for in the shots?
Well, we were lucky to have great amount of lighting, so we had good sunny days. Mm. We did catch a rain day once, which worked out really good with the scene. You know, you can see the rain falling between the camera and Scotty on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful shot. We did some night scenes up at altitude, about 7,000 feet in a cabin, with the star field moving around and the airplanes flying over. It was just another outstanding shot. So one thing I can say without exaggeration is that we have extraordinary visuals in this film.
Mm, that's important.
Yeah, it's beautiful to watch. The music that pairs with it is perfect, I think, perfectly matched. And then add that to our outstanding acting. I think I was really proud that everybody stepped up, did 100%, and I was actually a little surprised how well it turned out, honestly.
You've got to invite the mayor and the film director to come Saturday.
I've got free 26. Tickets for both of them if they're listening.
No, you really can't say that because they aren't allowed to accept tickets.
Oh, okay, I'll charge you full price.
No, but I mean, you can invite them, but, you know, it's just something, the gift thing, you know, it's
true,
just like
true.
The rules.
I guess so,
the rules are not allowed to accept gift. But I think you should do that. I mean, you know, you might even think of a blessing. It's a very big deal after all this work to have a special film that captures.
You know, we thought about trying to get Hawaiian Airlines to play it on their planes that are headed to Hawaii.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Because it would get everybody, you know, fired up to to enjoy where they're headed, you know, in a few hours.
What was that George Clooney film, The Descendants? Was it that Descendants?
That was filmed on Kauai. That's an excellent movie.
Oahu.
I think it was statewide, basically.
Yeah. And talk about good soundtrack. I had friends who got in that, and boy, they make some money off that soundtrack.
Oh, sure.
That's you know, that was
music.
Some good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and I'm seeing more, you know, interesting stuff shot here. But even with all of that, most of the stuff does not have all local. Now, I know Brian Cohen did. He made a point with Kuleana and also his other one to have all local, I think mostly all local people, you know. And that's so important. It really is. I know even with one of his films, it took him like 7 or 8 years to get funded to be able to do it, you know, because of the cost of it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was with help from the, funded by the government and funded by the county and stuff. Because people who see things like this do understand the beauty and the power and the grace that is here. And when you add horses to the fabulous upcountry. It's really a special feeling that you get. And it must have been interesting for you with your horses, too. You know, I mean, when you got out there and trying to get the scene and you know the horses, were they at first very cooperative or were they kind of, was it strange for them to get used to people around and the cameras and maybe a drone? Was it hard to get them to do exactly what you wanted? Or did they get the hang of it right away?
They're good horses, so they were just fine. I was a tiny bit nervous about the drone. But you know, even swinging a rope above a horse's head, some horses don't like it, and they won't let you do it. You know, just plain and simple. But these all my horses, you can swing a rope off of, so they're used to having distractions near them. But a couple times with the drone, Everett was a good pilot, and he was able to fly it in right around the horse, and it didn't even look up at the drone. So
yeah, Scotty told him, please don't look at the camera. Yeah. And somehow the horse understood that.
Yeah.
I've been on the St. Jude horseback ride. It's like 6 hours out there in the hills. Way up, we go way up above where Oprah's house is now. It was started by the Thompsons before Oprah's house, of course. And you go way up there and out.
Beautiful
and I, boy, talk about views and beautiful things, my gosh, you know. And there is this feel. You can go out that side sometimes and you feel the power of the ranch out there. And you go up to the place where they have the wooden statues, you know. And people do want to preserve that. I think there are people who do want to preserve. I've had a chance to interview a lot of the ranchers here on Maui, and there is this wonderful feeling that you want to preserve that special magic that you have. You know, the getting up early, the caring about it, getting the horses out there, whether it's polo horses or whether it's quarter horses or whether it's roping horses or whatever it is. There is a certain culture that is very pure about it, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. You know, everyone that I know, basically, I don't want to speak for everyone, but people like to have the open space. They enjoy driving from one town to the next town and having open space, you know.
I remember when they started putting, when I would go riding, this was in Topanga in the hills, they started putting, you know, in the beginning you could ride all through the hills up there, and then you'd start seeing a lock on one place. Now, okay, one place is locked. Maybe you could go on the road, dangerous in Topanga Canyon, taking your horse on a road. How do you get to the trail if you put, someone decides to lock a gate and put private property, no trespassing on it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I lived up in Sonoma County, and I had two horses, the Thoroughbred and Arabian, and the reason I got the place, 2 acres there, was there's a 4,000-acre park there. Someone built some homes. Next thing you know, the road, the path, trail into the 4,000-acre park is like no trespassing gate. It's like, well, what now? You know, it's like, how do I bought the house and the horses here because I could go riding in the park, and all of a sudden it's locked down. You
know, that's an age-old problem. You know, fences breaking up the West. You know, there's been 1,000 movies made about that. Oh yeah, songs.
I mean it does, and it changes things. You know, absolutely. Tell me a brief synopsis of the story and what we're going to be seeing.
Well, it's my character is the rancher. Everett's character is the developer. And Baron is the developer.
Yes.
He's trying to acquire land from me so he can build some resorts, big fabulous resorts.
And you know, Baron, my character, is not a nice guy. He's got a dark history. He's had some run-ins with the law, and with some dark characters himself, and he's got no problem leveraging whatever information he has to get Makai to sell. Mm-hmm. So he's done some research. He understands that perhaps Makai is land rich but cash poor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an angle he also tries to work. But, you know, Baron's borrowed a little money back in the past. And so he's got some collectors chasing him. So he's feeling the pressure to get something happening soon. Mm-hmm. And Makai, being stubborn as he is and unwilling to sell even a handful of dirt, is making it problematic. And that's basically the drama between our two characters.
Now, again, this is really going to be exciting for you with the world premiere, and we want everyone to get tickets at MauiOnStage.com for Saturday, March 26th at the Iao Theater. But there's also an opening film, and I found out you did that film. So tell me a little background on the opening film on whales.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's whale season now here in Maui, as you know, and I live in Lahaina, where they seem to congregate. I guess they heard the rum's good here or there. And I'd go out with my drone in the mornings, and I'd see them surface or something, or I'd see the boats congregating, and I'd fly out and stay the legal distance away, of course, and just have gotten some fantastic whale behavior, I suppose. You know, mama and babies, of course, a lot. The males beating each other up sometimes. They play rough. It just, and the water, the clarity of the water out here, it's, and when the sun's low in the mornings, it's sending these rays of light through the side. It just, you know, from a visual point of view, it's just artistic. And the whales are magnificent animals anyhow, especially babies, where they swim around the mom or the male escort, and then they're out there testing out their jumping skills, and they're kind of cute because sometimes they can only get halfway out of the water because they're not strong enough. Also, there's monk seals out there free swimming. There's sharks, there's turtles.
Really?
I mean, the ocean's just full of stuff out there. And now I know why the kayakers are so enthusiastic, because they get out there and get really close to it.
Yeah.
And that's got to be quite an experience when you have a huge whale next to your kayak.
Oh, yeah. I've never done that. And you know what? This year I haven't even gone out and see the whales. I don't know. I've been too busy.
I know.
But I've got to get out before it's too late. March is like kind of ending season of March and April. They're heading their home.
They'll
come back next year.
Yeah, they'll be back next year. But we got a contract with them.
And the name of your film?
It's Whale Dance.
And what'd you do for music on that one?
Yeah, there's some great music on there. It's a cover song of from the 50s, a tiki bar song called Sleepwalk. And it's it fits the visuals really well. I was happy the way it turned out. It's a little less than 5 minutes long.
Okay.
To get everybody in the mood.
Well, this is really a thrilling adventure, and I have to congratulate you. I mean, I know how much work it really is to do this. And if you're walking by, historic Iao Theater, you can see the poster. It's a lovely poster. You did the graphics for it?
Yes, yes.
Everett, you did a beautiful job.
Oh,
it's a cowboy on his horse, and it could be shot at any year. It could have been from 100 years ago. You know, and you, when you look at the picture, it could be timeless, really, 100 years ago. Now, and it kind of gives the feeling.
Hopefully 100 years in the future.
I hope. Yeah. You know, we only can hope. I mean, the way things have changed so fast right over Maui in just the time I've been here in 32 years.
Right.
I mean, I'm kind of shocked how everything has changed so quickly. You know, who would have guessed some of these things would have happened, right? But so that's why it's important for people to understand the values and capture this. And I'm glad you took the time and effort and money and work to capture and make your dream a reality. Congratulations on that, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, we think it turned out really well.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. So, again, MauiOnStage.com. Tickets only available on the website, MauiOnStage.com.
Right.
Tickets are only $10, folks.
Yeah.
You don't get movie premieres for $10 anymore. You don't.
You don't.
And so that's a very fair, and also donation to the IAWA from that. So we want a lot of people to come out and get the tickets and enjoy this amazing movie. And be able to say congratulations. There's a very special feeling when you see that reality, you know, the dream becomes a reality on that thing. You know, it's going to be a very special moment for you to see that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely.
Best of luck to you, and thank you so much for coming in today and telling your story.
Thank you for having us.
Aloha.
Aloha.